Coming up on Inside the Cleveland Browns, we get ready for the 2015 draft with pro personnel manager Dan Sagany.
Head coach Mike Pettine talks X's and O's for charity.
And we join Browns offensive lineman Joel Bitonio on his cross-country road trip.
All that and more coming up next.
Good morning, Dog Pound. Welcome to another edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns. I'm Dustin Fox, joined alongside Sarah Carnes, as always. Sarah, the last couple weeks have been a lot of fun. My goodness, the players are back in the building. We got the schedule release, and the draft is just 4 days away.
I know. I'm so excited. Monday night football this season. It's going to be awesome. Well, we decided to turn back the clocks a little bit and hear from our players on what it was like for them on their draft night.
With the sixth pick in the 2013 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Barkevious Mingo, defensive end, LSU.
Send the table in New York, and it was great because had all my family, and then Coach Miles, he did some guest commentating, so he was backstage, and actually before I got the phone call, he was talking to me, and I mean, I'm having a conversation with him over my shoulder, and my girlfriend tapped in my leg and said, "Babe, you're falling." And I'm like, you kind of freeze at that moment, but I mean, it was a great experience. Walk out on the stage, give the commissioner a big hug, get the jersey, and then after that, I had my phone in my chest pocket after that, and it didn't stop.
I was actually in the green room for draft day, and you know, my family and a couple of my coaches from Baylor went, and it was nervous because, you know, I didn't want to be there unless I knew I was going to get picked, and I didn't want to be that, you know, the person that, you know, doesn't get picked, you know. So I mean, I went, you know, my mom went, you know, she said, you know, you won't ever get this experience again. So I ended up going, and I got drafted 21st overall. It was a life-changing experience.
The Cleveland Browns select Joe Hayden, defensive back, Florida.
It was so nice. I had my family back there with me in the green room, and it was just a really cool experience to just be sitting back there and just watching each person getting picked and the camera run over to them. So actually, when I got picked, the seventh pick, all the cameras were over at CJ Spiller. So I was just like, dang, I'm not going to Cleveland. I really thought I was. And then my phone rang and the camera crew ran over to me. But it was cool, man. I just was overwhelmed with joy. Finally got drafted. And it was just exciting. All the work I've been doing to make it to the league, it came true.
It was nerve-wracking. I was nervous. I didn't know where I was going to end up. And my phone rings and it says Berea, Ohio. And I'm like, there's two teams in Ohio. I don't know where Brea is. You know, I have no idea. And I answered, and I'm pretty sure it was Ray on the phone. And he's like, "Hey, Joel, it's Ray Farmer, you know, GM of the Browns. We're going to draft you." And I'm like, "Let's do it, you know." My family's just kind of waiting there because there's a few picks before them. I'm like, who drafted you? I'm like, "Looks like I'm going to be a Brown." And everybody's just super excited. And then the crazy thing is they don't tell you this, but you watch your name get drafted. And then the team calls you back. You have like 45 minutes of like, you know, interviews with media people and all this stuff. You're like, I just want to celebrate with my family right now.
Joel, all he wanted to do was celebrate with his family, and he gets mobbed by the media afterwards. I'm going to guess that wasn't the last time he was surprised at the time commitment that's involved with being an NFL player.
Well, I can attest that being drafted is an exciting night being a player, but there's a lot of time, a lot of preparation that goes into it, and the preparation begins right here in this building. And we're going to hear from one of those guys, pro personnel manager Dan Sagany.
My name is Dan Sagany. I'm the manager of pro personnel for the Cleveland Browns. My role here is to assist Ray in helping fill holes on the roster, help track player movement across the league during the season. When we have an injury, helping find the next man up is really probably the biggest thing during the season. I've been fortunate to learn from a ton of great people. Ray's been unbelievable. Ray's one of the best, you know, anybody that knows Ray knows he's literally one of the best people you're ever going to meet. You know, Ray's a worker. Ray's smart. He thinks outside the box. And he treats everyone the right way. It's, you know, it's really a pleasure to work with him. When training camp starts, you know, I'll be out there for every practice of our camp, evaluating our roster, helping stack our roster for cuts, once the preseason game starts, that's when it gets really fun. On my end, preseason is actually probably the most fun time of year for me. It's a lot of fun trying to get through all that tape, trying to identify these players, and then watching them play each week, seeing how we think that they're going to fit on their team, whether or not they will make it. And then it's a scramble to, you know, get guys you like on your practice squad. But again, it's like a mini draft. It's a lot of fun to have a chance to quickly acquire players that you think can help going forward. Maybe the first month of the season, I'll spend time going through each team's practice squads, you know, to really make sure that that board's stacked in case there is a player that we think that we can acquire at some point that may be able to help us. The rest of the fall, I'll spend majority of my time watching free agency. I'll spend some time watching our opponents as well. Again, going to some games and also assisting with the advanced scouting process. Around December, I'll make sure that, you know, we have enough eyes on everyone, you know, players that we like, players that we think are in certain buckets and categories of how we would attack free agency. And then, you know, we'll meet as a staff with our scouts that do all this work too, with the coaches, and try to get everyone involved to make the best decision possible for the Browns.
The pressure is on for these guys every single year. They got to make these tough decisions there. I can't wait till Thursday night to see how this whole thing shakes out. Later in the show, we'll hear more from Dan and kind of get a chance to see what it's like to be a scout in the very busy life that he lives. All right, don't go anywhere, because when we come back, head coach Mike Fenton talks football with Browns Radiothon winners.
But to me, my football roots still all go back to my dad.
And Joel Batonio lets us ride shotgun with him on his road trip back to Cleveland.
I had to stop here in Kingman, Arizona, refuel our bodies and refuel tank.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns Foundation hosted a radiothon actually last fall, and one of the prizes was so cool. Chalk Talk with head coach Mike Pettin. And here are the very lucky recipients who actually got to collect on their prize this week.
As in any other business, we're in the people business. I mean, and it's not about the playbook. I mean, that's important, but it truly is about people. For me, you know, you want to establish yourself as a leader, first got to surround yourself with great people.
I thought this prize was such a special, behind-the-scenes, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that I just couldn't pass it up, and it turned out to be even more so than I could ever have imagined.
They gave us notebooks to write down, and the coach was full of insightful leadership tidbits as well as not only football knowledge, and stressed that as much as football is a sport, it's still a people business. No matter what you're doing, it's a people business.
And that's important to make sure that you're getting feedback and communicating with all levels of the organization to make sure that culture is there. You just don't want happy people at the top. But I make sure that, you know, the guys that are in the equipment room and the guys that work wherever in the building, is that they're all feeling like they're part of it, and that the energy is very positive.
Well, my favorite part of the event, I think, was just maybe towards the end, was some of the questions. And I thought, you know, the coach was so personal in his insights about how he grew up and his relationship with his father and coaching high school. And it was just fantastic, the whole thing. It's almost hard to figure out which part of this was the best part. It was all great.
I've been very fortunate to have been around and coach with a lot of great coaches, whether it was you know, Rex, you know, Brian Billick, you know, Mike Singletary, Mike Smith, Chuck Pagano, just a lot of, you know, coaches that I've been around that have influenced me. But to me, my football roots still all go back to my dad.
Everyone in Cleveland understands the importance of the foundation that the Browns have. This is a terrific group of people who really have the community at heart and are enormously generous with the community. It's a professional foundation that does first-rate work, and the community can be as proud of the Cleveland Browns Foundation as they are the Cleveland Browns football team.
Last year, because of Paul's contribution and many others, the Cleveland Browns Foundation was able to raise over $104,000 in the 28 hours of that radiothon. For more information on how you can support the many amazing programs that the foundation funds, make sure you visit clevelandbrowns.com/foundation.
One of those programs was visited by the players this week. Carlos Stansby and others visited the Merrick House in Cleveland to lend a helping hand to shoes and clothes for kids. And, of course, they had a little fun while they were at it.
Shoes and Clothes for Kids is actually 46 years old now, and we are the only nonprofit in Greater Cleveland that gives out new shoes, new clothes to children at no cost throughout the year. We have been a partner with the Cleveland Browns Foundation for at least 15 years. We have a lot of great memories with the Browns. We do events at training camp. We've done a lot of events in our partner agencies, but every year we do one or two events with the Cleveland Browns.
Today was awesome. We have a chance to give 10. That's Cleveland Brown Foundation. It's part of our foundation where we encourage everybody to give 10 hours of their time to community service. And today was my time, you know, so I had to take full advantage of this opportunity to get out in the community and just show a lot of love to a lot of kids.
We read to the students and did some arts and crafts, which was pretty cool. I haven't read Dr. Seuss in a long time, but that was a pretty cool thing to read. I didn't realize how long it was. It's a pretty long book, but it was good to read that to them. And then, you know, we signed some autographs, took some pictures.
The Cleveland Browns Foundation made a donation to them, and we were helping boxing up some clothes and shoes and things like that. You know, we can make someone's day and coming out and get the word out for all these great programs and foundations that we support, so everybody knows that they're out there and they can also give 10 and give back to the community.
Love to see the guys back in Cleveland and getting right back into the community. I think they may have even recruited some pups for the Dog Pound. All right, Dog Pound, don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we live the life of a scout through the eyes of pro personnel manager Dan Sagany. And we are along for the ride as Joel Batonio road trips back to Cleveland. Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. With just 4 days until the NFL draft, things are really starting to heat up here in the building. And Sarah, it's been a long time since the Browns have had the 12th overall pick. In fact, the year was 1978, and the Browns just so happened to hit that one out of the park. Let's take a look back at an all-time great, Clay Matthews.
He's blitzed and sacked by Clay Matthews. Matthews coming in untouched.
Following a 1977 season, the Cleveland Browns made a coaching change, bringing in Sam Ratigliano to lead the team. In Ratigliano's first draft as head coach in 1978, the team selected linebacker Clay Matthews from the University of Southern California in the first round. From day one, Clay Matthews played a key role on defense. A sure tackler, superb pass defender, and fine pass rusher, Matthews was named a full-time starter in just his second year with the team and held that position for 16 years in Cleveland. Matthews was highly versatile and played every linebacker spot, registering 1,430 tackles, 62 sacks, 14 interceptions, and 13 fumble recoveries with the Browns. He was the anchor on a defense that made 7 playoff appearances, including 3 trips to the AFC Championship game. Widely considered by Browns fans to be one of the most underrated players to ever play the position, Matthews was voted to 4 Pro Bowls and was a 3-time AP All-Pro selection. In 19 NFL seasons, he played in 278 total games, including 248 starts, which ranks 11th all-time in NFL history. He recorded 1,561 career tackles, which ranks 3rd all-time in NFL history.
I can't wait to see who they pick on Thursday night, and you can go to the Browns mobile app to see more on the legendary players. Well, one guy that knows a thing or two about finding tough, hardworking players, just like Clay Matthews, is Browns pro personnel manager Dan Sagany.
You know when you see a player, you're like, I want that guy on my team. That's the type of player that we want in this building. You kind of have a mental box in your head where you check whether or not this guy plays like a Brown on tape. And that guy could, you know, be a first-round type player. He could be a fifth-round type player. You know it when you see it. You know the accountable guys. You can tell who likes to hit, who's going to fly around, who wants to make plays, and who does make plays. I think we do a good job of identifying players that can play across any scheme and that do fit that play like a Brown box.
Chandler juggles it, and that's going to cost him as Dante Whitner is all over him and drops him for a loss back to the 50, a loss of two.
We had a scout here my first year, Marcus Hendrickson. Marcus and I came in, you know, as young guys together. He works for the Dolphins now. One of my best friends, did a reading at my wedding. You know, we're still extremely close. When you move to a new city, away from your family and friends, you spend a lot of hours in the office, you know, with our jobs. That's part of the gig. But Thanksgiving, Marcus and I went to the sub shop down the street and got an Italian sub for Thanksgiving dinner. And we ordered extra meat, and both of us were, like, passed out on the couch in the office instead of home with our families on Thanksgiving our first year. So we still text and joke about that every Thanksgiving, and it's just one of the things you do. You spend a lot of time in this building, and you got to keep yourself sane somehow. You know, we're big on music and candles in our office. We kind of keep things light. That's one of the things I love about Ray, is that, you know, we always have music going, you know, whether it's 80s Monday during the season, whether it's hip-hop Friday, Michael Jackson Friday, random stuff. We'll mix it up and keep things fresh and just keep it moving. I love what I'm doing now. I love kind of help managing everything on the pro side. I'm still very involved in the college side. I'm trying to do a better job of learning a lot of the cap situations and scenarios. My ultimate goal, yes, would be, you know, to be a GM eventually. But really, I just want to do everything we can to win here. There would be no better place in the NFL to win than Cleveland, in my opinion.
Dan, I'm right there with you, partner. There is no place that likes to win as much as Cleveland.
I know. Between the Browns, the Cavs, mm-hmm. and the Indians, Cleveland is the place to be. I'm so proud to be a Cleveland sports fan. Now, Dog Pound, don't go anywhere, because when we return, you'll get in the car with Joel Bitonio for his 2,000-mile trek all the way back to Cleveland.
All right, Dog Pound, are you ready for some Browns trivia? On Monday, November 12th, the Browns will face off against the Baltimore Ravens for a primetime matchup. When is the last time the Browns have won a Monday night game? Is it A, October 3rd, 2008, versus the Giants? B, November 17th, 2008, versus the Bills? Or C, November 16th, 2009, versus the Ravens? The answer when we come back. All right, Dog Pound, here's your trivia answer. It's B, November 17th, 2008 versus the Bills. With under 2 minutes to go, former Browns kicker Phil Dawson kicked a 56-yard field goal to give the Browns the win 29-27.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now, Dustin, if you were traveling from Los Angeles back to Cleveland, you'd probably take a plane, right?
Yeah, I think I'd be booking a flight on United.com.
Yeah, me too. Well, not Joel Bitonio. He decided he'd rather go on a little adventure. And lucky for us, he brought a camera on the way to document all of the 2,625 miles he traveled, just so we wouldn't feel left out.
What's up, Dog Pound? This is Joel Bitonio out in Irvine, California. I'm about to embark on a road trip back to Cleveland for off-season workouts. It's going to be a long journey. It's 5 a.m. right now, but I'm rearing and ready to go. Go Dog Pound. Had to stop here in Kingman, Arizona, refuel our bodies and refuel the tank. Usually I try and stay away from fast food, but I don't think it's really a road trip without some Mickey D's in your life. Still making our journey on day one of this road trip, and we're leaving Arizona finally, and we're coming into Utah. Right now we're passing through a place called Monument Valley, and there's just kind of a lot of cool little rock formations everywhere. We're out here a little bit outside of Blanding, Utah, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. It's kind of a hidden gem in the camping world, but I had some family out here, and this is where we're going to make camp for tonight. We just camped a couple days in southern Utah, and now we're entering colorful Colorado, as you can see. So it's going to be a couple days in southern Colorado now, and we're going to enjoy that area. Driving over Wolf Creek Pass right now. We decided to stop at this scenic outlook, and I just think it's pretty amazing. We're going to get up to about 12,000, 13,000 feet pretty soon here, but if you're ever in this area, I think it's a great place to stop. Great photo, Kodak moment, and as you can see, it's pretty quiet out here. Not very many other people. after a few miles on the road, we're headed into Kansas right now. I've heard it's a pretty boring part of the drive, and so far we haven't been disappointed. We're in St. Louis, Missouri still, and we got to see the Gateway Arch, which is the gateway to the west. It's pretty cool. First time for me seeing it, and it's kind of a cool little thing with the St. Louis skyline in the background. Here's a view of Busch Stadium. It looks like they're getting ready to play some baseball today. It's a little early here, but it looks pretty exciting. Pretty nice ballpark. We just arrived in Illinois, and I feel like from the West Coast to here, the states get a lot smaller across than they were back when we were driving earlier on this trip. But that's fine with me. The closer we get to Cleveland, the happier I get. So we just thought this was cool. We're passing a little place called Brownstown. Never really heard of it or anything, but I sure do hope there's some Browns fans there. All right, guys, we made it to Indiana. We're making some pretty good time now. It's looking good, man. We're going to make it home tonight, it looks like. Finally, we made it back to Ohio. We still got a little bit of ways, but just something about being back in Ohio makes me happy. After 2,625 miles, numerous states, some great stops along the way, we finally made it back to Cleveland. I'm so excited to be back home right now and get ready to go to work on Monday. Let's go, Browns.
Well, I know the Browns are happy to have him back in Cleveland, but maybe for one of our upcoming shows, we can get him to take a road trip with us, maybe back to Brownstown, Illinois, visit some Browns backers.
I like that idea. Count me in. Well, Dog Pound, thanks for joining us this week. If you want a chance to win two tickets to the official Browns draft party, all you have to do is go online, clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsTV, and enter the keyword party.
All right, don't go anywhere. Keep it right here. You can join Nathan Zagura and Andy Baskin next. They're breaking down the Browns schedule and more on the Dog Pound Report. For Sarah Carnes, I'm Dustin Fox. We'll see you next week.